like to say Happy New Year's to everyone who's on our call. We especially want to say thank you to those who have joined us this morning who may not be members of the Church of Christ. You're on our call this morning. We're very grateful to God that you've chosen to be with us, and you've been invited by someone who's a member of the church, perhaps, and we want you to know that in the Church of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right, and that Jesus did die on that cross and shed the blood that washed his sins away in baptism. That same blood purchased his church, his bride, his wife. She wears his name. It's the Church of Christ. It's the only church you can read by the Bible. The only one in there. It's the only one you ever hear us talk about on this program and on in our services. We're very thankful to know that even during our gospel call this week, we had one who obeyed the gospel, and they're real. So we people listen to us all across the nation and obeying the gospel through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ from the Highland Heights congregation. To members of the church, we want to welcome you from other congregations who joined us this morning. We thank you so very much for being with us in the services on this morning. Now, continuing our study of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, we wrap that up this morning. Hope you've enjoyed the study. We've learned about the faith of Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses so far. And I cannot deal with all the heroes of faith in this chapter, so many of them mentioned, but remember, as we finish this chapter, that the important thing to know is verse 6, that the Bible teaches that without faith is impossible to please God. And what I was talking about is that the faith that we know about today comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So everything hinges on your belief in the Bible as the word of God. That's where your faith will develop. Many people have a faith developed from their mom and dad and grandmother and grandfather or their own general belief. They've come to conclusion that they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in one church, or they believe in God, but they don't believe everybody's got to do what the Bible says. So that's someone who don't believe in the Bible. That's your problem. So you will be one of those who fall. You'll fall as one who will be counted guilty of not having faith. And Hebrews 11:6 says, without that faith, notice this, that it's impossible to please God. So this morning we're talking about the report through faith. Each of us are writing a report card, if you will, on our faith as we live the life. And then we'll look at this in chapter 11. I'll make some applications here shortly as we look at this. But think about yourself. And try to really believe that what's been most effective for me is to try to take everyone else out of the picture and really look at my own faith and what I believe and why do I believe and how deep is that belief to really nail down or fasten my own mind on the fact that I have a true belief in what this book says. I do believe there's a heaven. I believe it. No doubt in my mind. I don't believe there's a guest afterlife. I believe there's a heaven win and there's a hell to miss. Now, do you believe that? Some people believe, you know, well, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. Well, that's not belief. Now, that's not faith, according to this Bible. That won't get you to heaven. You got to believe it, all of it. And so I encourage you to look at your report, and we talk about the applications I'll make this morning about what does God see on your faith report. And as we enter into a new year, today is a good day. Really, you know, we make resolutions. Of course, New Year's is really the most important decision any of us can make, and that would be to be true to our belief in God, true to our belief, and make sure I nail that down and be true to God and knowing that, you know, none of us are perfect. That's not what I'm talking about, living a perfect life. I'm not talking about that. Jesus didn't have to, he wouldn't have had to die if we could do that. That's not what I'm talking about. But do you believe, and are you doing the things that you know you need to do, even to the point of when you make a mistake and you sin, do you make that confession? Do you believe that confession is necessary? Do you believe repentance is truly necessary? Or do you believe, well, you know, we all mess up, and even if I die like this, I'm going to be all right because grace is going to save me. That's grace only right there. And that's another belief that comes from the world. Everybody want to believe like that. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus said, if you die in your sins where I am, you cannot come. John 8:21-24. And then Luke 13:3 says, except you repent, you're going to perish. So you've got to repent. You've got to change it. You've got to stop it. And then you got to move on from that one. And then and the next thing you're dealing with, you got to repent of it. You got to stop it. You can't just keep living in that, continuously living in that sin, and then believe that you're okay. That's going to happen. So you're in the new year today. Is a good day to renew your vow to God, restore, repent, make it known. At the end of the program, make it known. I want to renew my relationship with the Lord and repent of my sins and really make this year a year where I put God first in everything I do. And I hope you will do that. And I'll talk more about that toward the end of the program, how you can do that too. And so this morning, let's start in verse number 30, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. Thank God, you know, we got to see a new year. Boy, I was just listening to the news this morning. I know a 17-year-old killed last night. You know, just somebody's mama, some child's mama. That child's mama is all in the Lord have mercy. You know, you think of your children being killed like that. You know, the reason I bring that up is because, you know, we should be grateful to have just another day to be alive and to be thankful to God. So when you call, you know, use this day, you know, January 2nd, 2022. We never knew we was going to see the year 2022, but what a day to be grateful, just saying, you know what, God allowed me to see this day. And for that, I'm thankful. And I thank God for Brother Kirby leading this song, Thank You, Lord. And this is the time when you can stop and say thank you. So you can stop and reflect on a past year and say, you know, what can I do different this year? But one of the things you can do to ensure the saving of your soul is to listen to this lesson this morning about your report that you obtain through faith. In verse 30, the Bible says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were passed about 7 days. Now, it was by faith that Joshua and the Israelites marched around the walls of Jericho. And then I won't be able to read all this, so I'll give you the scriptures. You can go back. It's good reading this week. Go back and read about all these different events that the Bible is talking about. I won't get to do all that in this little time I have, but you can have time. That's good study, good reading material for you to look how God commanded them and how they moved, how they marched, how they compassed by. So this week I've been reading all these different stories of the Old Testament. And one thing that stood out to me, that the reason these people were okay with the Lord is that they did it exactly and precisely the way God told them. They didn't just move a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right of what he said. They had to do exactly the way the Lord told them. Jericho, they had a march around the wall of Jericho. This is found in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Now in verse 5, God told Joshua what to do. For they would march around and the people would shout on the seventh. On the seventh day. It was important. They only shouted on the seventh day. So God instructed them. We even found in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 20 that the Bible said that they marched and they shouted. And he said, shout. The people did, and the walls fell flat. That's what the Bible said. The walls fell flat down, just like God told them it would do. If they would do it the way God told them, as God instructed, the way God instructed, that's a man or woman of faith, is to do it their way. They marched with patience by faith, and they shouted at the time God told them, and those walls fell flat. Now, how do you apply that there? My question is to all of us. How are you marching today? I mean, what is your walk of faith? What is your walk of faith? What type of report will you be found in your walk? I don't know how many years you've been living. Just calculate whatever your age is. Say, what has been my walk of faith from the time I was baptized to now? What does my report of faith really look like? Do I have a good report? Did you march when God said march? For example, Did you march down to be baptized when you heard the command to be baptized? There was a step of faith. If you're on the call this morning, you haven't made that one step of faith. Why would you not take that step? Because your faith issue. There's a faith issue when a person do not respond to God. Maybe you don't believe it. Maybe it's not your time. You say, well, if you think like that, then you believe that you can live. You're going to live and you're going to be okay. Did you wait on the Lord for your walls of trouble to fall? You know, did you take matters into your own hand? I mean, will you obtain a good report because you did things the way God said do it? Were you baptized? Are you in the one church, the Church of Christ? Do you take the Lord's Supper every Sunday like you're supposed to? Yeah, are you faithful? Do you give right? I mean, it's a list of things. You know, when God say give, we give. When God say obey, we obey. These are the things that we do by faith. So Joshua led them, and you go over to Joshua chapter 6, and there was a really beautiful chapter there to read about that. In verse 31, it said, by faith the harlot, Rahab, perished not with them that believed. I see that. The people who did perish were those who didn't believe. And when she had received the spies with peace. Now, this is found in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1 through 22. You can read about the harlot, prostitute. But she hid those spies. Joshua sent us two spies in, and she hid them in her house. And she obtained a good report because of it, because she believed. She had heard about it. If you go read Joshua chapter 2, she had heard about the things that God had done for children of Israel, how he parted the Red Sea and all that. She heard about these, and she believed it. She believed that these guys were serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they were going to take over the city of Jericho. But there was something that this woman knew. They knew she was a harlot. She was a prostitute. People know what's going on a lot of times in your life, but the good news is that it doesn't matter what you've done in life. Sometimes we categorize, you know, well, she was a prostitute, so she's worse than me because I'm only a liar, I'm only a gospel. Well, it's all the same. It's called S-I-N. So when you categorize sin and you make one worse than the others or something like that, then you're gonna have a problem because you're going to continue to live in that one that you feel like it's not as bad as the other. But here's a case where this lady was a harlot, prostitute, but she knew her life wasn't right with God. She knew that. Do you know if your life is right with God this morning? You say, well, how do I know? Well, by faith. You got to have a belief in the Word of God. So when you believe the Word of God, you believe that what you're doing is a sin. It is truly a sin because God said it was a sin. And so that's how you determine what it is. But you can also make a change on your report. And, you know, on my report with God, I want to be able to see there was a day when I made a decision to change from being that harlot, from being that prostitute, from being that whatever, you fill in the blank. You fill in the blank about you. And I decided to obey God by faith. Now, I know today, the very day I walked down and got baptized, I'll never forget that day. You should know that. You should know the day that you made the major, the most important decision of life, and that is to save yourself. But there was something interesting to me as I studied the story of Rahab, is that the Bible says in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 13, that in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 13, and the Bible says that, excuse me, that's not the one I want, but Joshua chapter, just a second, chapter 2. Chapter 2 is the whole story of Rahab and how she obeyed God. Just a second. Let me get that verse. But it pointed out in verse chapter 2, verse 13. That's where I'm going to be apologizing. Chapter 2, verse 13. Chapter 6 is where we see where Joshua, chapter 6, verse 17, he told them, don't touch the house of Rahab. We'll look at that first. That's where I was at. Joshua 2, 13. Listen to this lady. She said, well, I'll go back to verse 12. Now, therefore, I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show me kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brother, my sisters, and all that are all that they have and deliver our lives from death. In Joshua 6 and verse 17, we'll see that the Bible says that it came to pass in verse 16, the seventh day, when the priest blew with the trumpet, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be a curse, even it, and that all therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers of the sin. See that? When it came down to it, God kept his word. This woman was a prostitute, but what she had in mind was not just herself. And that's the application I kind of want to make this year for 2022. Do you have in mind your soul? Do you have in mind the change you need to make to save yourself? And then think about it. How many of us, because we haven't made the changes in our lives, it's going to affect everyone in our household? This woman wanted her mama, her dad, her sisters, and brother, and everyone to be saved that was in the house. I want to ask all of us on the call, how hard have we worked on ourselves in order to be an example for our children, for our families, for our mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters? How many of you got in mind your family right now? Think about the things you need to do, the change you need to make in order to be an example to them that you have kept the commands of God. You did what God told you to do, and as a result of that, God is blessing them to see that example in your life. You got a son or a daughter out there living like they want to live. You got to look at yourself and say, what kind of life did I live before? We can't force people to obey the truth. You can't force anyone to live a life according to your will. That person's individual will must be done. Here's how I kind of see it for myself. You know, I have to give my family a foundation of faith, try to be the example to my children, my family, my mom and dad, sisters and brothers, and my children. At the end of the day, that's as far as I can go. They're going to have to continue to live for themselves. But what I do live with, sleep well with, is that I did my part by trying to be that example, the best I could be, of course, working on those things I knew I needed to work on, but as a result, had an effect on my sisters. As a result, I had an effect on my brother. As a result, I had an effect on my mom and my dad. As a result, I had an effect on my children. What did I leave my children? A foundation of faith, something to hold on to, something they can believe in, something they can go back to once they leave the camp, once they fall by the wayside. They got a way to get up. They know. And I can't beat myself up over them not doing it. I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to reward myself knowing, hey, I gave them that basic foundational belief system and did not live fake before them, but lived as one who knew I, too, had to live in a certain way that I wanted to save my family. The question becomes, how important is your family salvation to you? This woman was a prostitute. That did not stop her, knowing she had bad things going on in her life, from doing things to help God's people. And in the end result, what she wanted was a response from God to help me save my family from the destruction of the city. And it worked. And that's what the Bible revealed. And that's why she's in that group of people that's listed in Hebrews chapter 11 and Heroes of Faith. Let's move on. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. What shall I more say? The Hebrew writer said, you know, I gave you all these different guys, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Sarah, and Abel, and Enoch, and then I gave you Rahab and Joshua. He said, I should have to say no more, really, for the time would fail me to tell of each. He said, I can't write all everything about Gideon or Barak or Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. He's saying now, in this letter he was writing to the Hebrew Christian, I can't talk about all of them. But I can give you now a verse so you can go back and listen to them and read about all of it. So if you're taking notes, first of all, if you want to know more about Gideon and Judges chapter 6 and verse 11, this was a man of faith, a man of God, would have had a good report of faith, because he defeated 135,000 Midianites with only 300 men who lapped like a dog. The God told him what to look for in the men, and the men who had hair that lapped like a dog were the men that God told him to select. And he went down to 300, and still with 300 men, God help him defeat 135,000 of Midianites. Go there and read about Gideon. Then go to Judges chapter 4 to read about Barak. This man of God had a good report because he delivered by faith Israel from 20 years of oppression by Jabin, king of Canaan. This is Judges chapter 4 in verses 1 and the following verses. Then we all know about Samson. Samson in Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. This great man of faith, of strength, had a good report because he delivered Israel from the Philistines, killing thousands with only the jawbone of a donkey. Judges chapter 15, verse 13 through 17. That's an interesting story to read. He used the jawbone of a donkey. Then go over there and look at Jephthah. In Judges chapter 11 and verse 1, this man of God had a great report, a good report, who made a blind vow, not knowing it would be his own daughter, for the victory of God's people over the Ammonites. And this man did that. In Judges chapter 11, you read about that great man of God. And then 1 Samuel, David, 1 Samuel 16, we all know about David. We've read much about David, that shepherd boy, that sweet psalmist of Israel, who killed the giant Goliath with a sling stone and a slingshot and a stone. God gave him 5 smooth stones. He only needed one. You can read about all of this in 1 Samuel chapter 16, how God gave him more than he needed. And just like David got more than he needed to win the battle, God will give us more than we need to win this battle that we're fighting against Satan. And then the Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 20, born as an answer to his mother's prayer, became a mighty judge, a priest, a prophet of the great God of heaven. So he got a good report. And many more of the prophets, the Hebrew writer says, many more. Take the time this week and go back and read about all this. Good study, good reading, good information. Some interesting things took place with these guys, and men and women, and the faith of these heroes, the Bible records, they had a good report. Listen to some of their good reports. Listen to the Hebrews chapter 11 as he just started rattling off some of the things that they had reported of, good reports about. Who, through faith, talk about all those listed, the different prophets, subdued, that he couldn't mention all their names. He said, but here's what they did. They who through faith, I'm in verse 33, Hebrews 11, who through faith subdued, I mean, they took over kingdoms. They wrought righteousness, did what's right, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Y'all remember Samson, David, and Daniel all dealt with the lions. Notice verse 34, quenched the violence of fire. They were escaping from fiery furnaces like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Escaped the edge of swords, out of weaknesses, were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. These men, weak men, were made strong when they kept God's promises and kept God's commands, rather. Then, verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again. This is a story about 1 Kings 17:17, Elijah and the widow's son. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others, the trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, and yea, more of bonds and imprisonments. These prophets, he's talking about all these people through the old law, through the Old Testament, they were stoned. They were sawed or sawn, I mean cut in half with saws. Ancient traditions of execution. And some, even some of this say possibly Isaiah died by being Saul or something. I'm not sure about that. But that's what you hear in some of the Jewish historical reading. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goat coats, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy being the presence of such men and women of faith, what he's talking about. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And notice what he says about them. As he rattled off all these things that these men and women did, he said this. These all, verse 39, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better things for us, Christians, talking about us today, that they without us should not be made perfect. All these things they went to led to the report that they had in the eyes of God. And he said, but they weren't Christians, basically what he said. They didn't have the promise of the Savior like we have. It was prophesied about. And so, these guys, ladies and gentlemen, all acted on a belief that God would bring them through. And they made a list of the heroes of faith because they did what God told them to do in the face of adversities and difficulties and trial and tribulations. These heroes of faith simply made a report because they believed that God was able. They could see the promise. They believed there was a promise. Do you believe this morning that there is a street of gold? Do you believe there is a wall of jasper? Do you believe there's a place that God will be there and he'll wipe away all of your tears? Do you believe that with all of your heart? I want to point out some applications as I think about this. None of us, no one listening to me, I'm confident in this, have ever been through trials of faith like some of these we just heard about, we just read about. I'm confident. You can call me, tell me I'm wrong. None of us have been thrown. I know no one who's been thrown in a lion's den. None of us have been thrown in fiery furnaces to prove our faith and our belief that God was able. None of us have escaped the edge of sword in America, maybe in other countries where they would kill you because you're Christian, not in America. None of us have had trial of cruel mockings and scourges and being whipped. Just like we know Jesus was whipped, how they whipped them in time to pole and whip them with whips. None of us have gone through that. None of us have been put in bonds. I mean, locked up with chains in cold dungeons. None of us have been locked up because we believed and put in prison and was dependent on God to get us through. I don't know of a Christian today that's been stoned to death because they didn't do what God told them. I don't know of a Christian of anyone who've been sawed asunder, cut in half. Do you know anybody? It's been cut in half with a saw. I don't know of a Christian wondering about in the world of sheepskins and sheepskin is goatskin. All they have is some animal to kill for the clothing. Being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. I don't know of a Christian who's wandering in deserts and in mountains and in dens, hiding in dens and caves of the earth. If you know of people like that, that call themselves children of God that's going through these things, let me know who that is. I don't know of anyone. So none of this really will be something that we're going to be reported on. This is not going to be that type of thing those prophets and men and women went through. It's going to be on our report, on our faith report. So what kind of faith report can I consider for us as I make a list and I go through this slowly? I want you to think about it, what I'm saying, and this lesson will be there. I said, how do you make this application? How do I make this apply to us today? And that's a good thing about studying the Bible. You got to bring it to present day application. So I'm going to ask some questions. Like, will your report, nothing, How about this? The lines of men, consider the lines of men as sin, headaches, and pain. You know, dealing with Satan, dealing with sin is like dealing with the lion. Don't you know that? And Peter said that. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, the roaring lion, seeking by whom he may devour. So we have to fight this fight of sin. And we are up against it, but by faith is the only way we're going to make it. We got to believe that we can do this. We can win this war of faith, by faith. That the devil can't win if we stay with God. So what would your report say? We have a good report that you never left the Lord. You never gave up. You never left the church. You never left the truth. You fought with it. You never gave in and said, I just quit trying to live right. I'm just going to quit going to worship. I'm just going to stop because I can't deal with the headaches of the church members, dealing with people and seem like they're all hypocrites up there. I mean, it's just sin is all around us. Nobody's no better than me, so I might as well stay at home. Is that true? That's on your report. So you don't believe that God is able to deal with these things and we put him first. Like Paul says, that if we put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, that we can win this battle. Do you believe that? Do you believe there is a devil that you have to fight? Do you believe that you got this lion's den that you're in? Do you believe there's a way out? Well, that's on your report. If you gave up, and I encourage you this morning, if you're on this call and you have fallen by the wayside, you've pretty much given up on the Lord. You've given up on living correctly. And you happen to be on the call this morning because you're trying to figure out what I got to do to change my life. Well, maybe this is the day you do it. That you come home and let it be on your report that on January 2nd, 2022, I came out of the line being of sin. I done with Peter. I understood what Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8, that I had to be sober in my thinking. I had to be vigilant in my effort to live right because the adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion walking about seeking to devour me. And I made the decision, after listening to the lesson presented by Brother Bruce about my faith, that I was going to come home and come out of this lion den. That would be recorded on your report. You can say I did it. I came out and I came back to the Lord. Yes, I had heartaches. Yes, I had pains. Yes, I was in the lion den. But I didn't stay there. By faith, God gave me life. I was able to live 2022. And on January the 2nd, 2022, I came out of that lion den to give my life back to the Lord. I moved. How about the fiery furnace of trials and tribulations? I mean, how many of you can say, I'm being tried. I'm being tried from every corner. My finances, my life, my job, my family, my marriage. I'm going through trials. And I know that on my report, I wanted to say, once I got thrown in these fiery trials, and I came out, okay, with that smoke smell on me. You know, that's what we see, the fiery furnaces and those who threw in the fire. They came out. Now, unharmed. We can come out unharmed out of our trials and tribulations. I don't know what you're going through this morning. But I know there's somebody on this call that I'm talking to. Somebody's going through some trials and tribulations. Maybe something like you've never seen before. You've never been here. You've never been in this tough of a situation. You don't even see a way out. What I'm saying is that it needs to be on your report that you today, you know, when I just gave my life to the Lord and I asked God and I believe that God will bring me through. And I don't have to fret and worry. I can know that God will bring me through these trials, and these trials and tribulations I'm going through are to make me stronger. I want that on my report. I want to have a good report that trials and tribulations didn't bring me down. How about the sword? A sword. Let's make a sword of pain and sickness and failing health. You know, how many of you now look back on your life when you were younger, you look back and say, man, I wish I hadn't done this, I wish I hadn't done this, and my body's taking a toll now, now I'm sick, now I'm in pain, maybe I shouldn't have done that, maybe I should. You're looking back and saying, what if? Well, maybe that pain is intended to bring you closer to God. And think about the pain and sicknesses and your failing health right now. Your kidneys are failing, maybe your dialysis, maybe your diabetic, maybe you have heart failure, maybe you got a lot of things going on in your body, you're dealing with that old bad word, cancer. You're dealing with these things in your life. Maybe you're getting up in age and you started feeling the arthritis and all these other things going on, the pains in your life. Maybe that's, you know, when you get stuck with a sword, there's some pain in your body. So I'm trying to make the application here is that your report needs to say on your report of faith, yes, I'm going to let God help me with my pain, my sicknesses. And I know that he'll be there doing my failing health. And I also know that I'm ready to meet my maker when I have to. Because I believe God is able to do what others can't do. He's able to do what the doctors can't do. He's able to work through the doctors and the nurses and all that to give me the life that he wants me to have, the quality of living that he wants me to have. Do you have that on your report? Will it be on your report that you gave up when you got sick? You just stopped coming to worship, just gave in to the sickness and you forgot God? Don't let that be on your report. What about the mockings and scourging that they went through? Let's compare that to us today. What about mockings and scourging the people in your life who pull you down like the crabs in the bucket? You try to get up and those same people pull you back down with them. The crowds you're around, the enemies, the people who don't like you, who can't stand you, who don't want to talk to you, who people who will wrong you, that's mocking and scourging and talking behind your back. How do you deal with people like that? How do you continue to hold on to God? Is it going to be on your good report that you never gave in to that, that you never responded to them like that, that you responded in love? You can love your enemy. You can love those who hate you. You can love those who talked about you, no matter what's going on. Will that be on your report? Do you have a good report that, of that? Will you have that good report that when they scourged me, when they tore me down, when they tore up my character, did you hold on to God? Did you wait on your humility? Did you wait for God to bring you grace? As we learn in the Bible, that if we humble ourselves in the mighty hand of God, that he would lift us up in due time. Do you believe that with all your heart? That even though someone can talk bad about you, someone can put your name in the mud, maybe deservedly or undeservedly, you still can by faith come out. You can come out clean. You can come out knowing God will forgive and God will bring me through. It doesn't matter what people say about me. It doesn't matter how much they hate me. It's I can love them anyway. Will that be on your report? How about this one? We looked at the report of bonds and imprisonments. And think about how many people are dealing with drugs and alcohol and addiction and prison and taking it, controlling their life and in and out of jail, in and out of the prison system, fighting the street. All they know is the street life. And now you come into the church, all you still know is what went on in the streets. Now, what were your report? That you know you was in bondage, you was in bonds, and you was in imprisonment of these addictions or whatever it is going on in your life, whether it be even prescription medications got people in prison in prescription medication. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're on the call there. And it's opioids that you're dealing with. Whereas when I was growing up, opioids wasn't the issue. It was back then. Now it is. What's going on with all the addictions and things? Maybe you've been in and out of that prison system. And now you're ready to clear your head. It's 2022. Here you are 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, 25 years old, whatever age it is. I'm talking to you. You can make the decision today to put on your report. That, you know, that day I decided that I was going to give up that type of lifestyle. I was going to give my life to the Lord. You know, I'm going to come out of this prison and sell a repeat offender. The repeat offender, repeating myself, going back to the alcohol, back to the drugs, every time something go wrong. Going back to the prison of the life of the streets where I stopped cussing and I stopped acting like someone who didn't know God, and now things going bad in my life, I'm back to cursing, I'm back to talking like someone of the world. What's going to be on your report? There were times were tough. I didn't turn to God. I turned to something else, some type of intoxicant. Let's try this one. Remember, talk about they were stoned. What about the stones? Let's talk to the sisters first. You know, sisters, we have a good report by faith when it comes to the stones of spousal abuse, that you were able to live with an abusive husband, or one who looked holy to us, but when he came to the church, he looked like he was just a very good husband and one who loved. But you know, at home, there was a different man. There was a different side of him that none of us knew. There was a monster side. There was this side that wasn't spiritual. And you say to yourself, you know, why am I being stoned with this type of husband? Why am I being stoned? Why am I having to go through these sexual abuse and this abuse, verbal abuse of why did I have to marry a man who can't love me for who I am? You know, can't understand, can't love me even if I gain weight, or can't love me if I don't look like I used to when I was younger. Why I got stoned with a man who can't be affectionate to me? Why is it that I have to won't out? Why am I troubled through this marriage? Why is it that I'm in this situation, that I'm miserable, that I'm in this situation? Maybe it's like those men and women, you know, they were stoned. There was some pain come with some decisions we made in life. See? A lot of people made decisions on the whim when it comes to marriage. That's one thing I certainly don't encourage. So if you're on the call this morning and you're a young person or someone who's considering marriage, you need to give thought and not be hasty and rush into a marriage and then find out later that you married a monster or you married someone who was fake in the front. He had that sheep clothed on inside, it was a wolf. I'm talking to the sisters or young ladies, that you don't get caught up in that. Get to know who you're getting ready to marry. Take your time when it comes to that. And now you have to live with those stones, that stone in your life. Let's try another one. Talking to the brothers, how about the stone and hardness of having a wife who is unsubmissive? She talks back to you. She talks down to you. You know, you try to be the man, you try to be the best you could be, and so you weren't the perfect husband. You know now you could have done things differently, you could have been better. But now you're living with a woman who disrespects you, don't take care of you, don't cook for you no more, don't have no interest in letting you know you're still her husband. She still submits to your protection and home, and she's still that woman who's going to be there, even though you maybe not been all you should have been. Or maybe now you learn after you marry this woman that you turn in, just like the woman married the man, you married a woman who really is a monster on the outside, inside. But she comes to church, and she comes to worship with you, and she looks good to us. And she looks dressed up and beautiful, all on the outside. It's just an outward appearance. But at home, she's drinking and cussing and talking to you like you're nobody. And you wonder why. And you want out, but you know because God has sinned, it's only because of adultery that you can't leave. You say, I'm stuck. Well, maybe no. Maybe you've been tested. Maybe your report is this, that you have a report that you're going to do. No matter how difficult, how much stone and hardness that I have to go through to make it to heaven, that I can continue to be the man I'm supposed to be, and let her be the woman. Let her see your example and be the example to her, and maybe pray one day she will make those changes. Maybe she's listening to me. Maybe she's listening to me and you're sitting right there by her. One of the beautiful things about, you know, the pandemic in my mind, and God has given us some experiences here with the pandemic, to sit in our home with our families around the table. And we look at each other. And when I come down your street, either you look up at each other or you know I'm talking, and it applies. Whereas if you were sitting and looking forward at the pulpit, you were in your comfort of your home and having to consider what's in your home. What are your children seeing? This thing I've been hitting hard on. And what are the families seeing? What are you dealing with at home? Well, you know, it's 2022. I could say to that husband and to that wife, after this call, you could say, yeah, let's have a conversation. Let's have a conversation today about being all we can be in the eyesight of God. Be the best husband I can. Forgive me for my past. Be the best wife I can. Forgive me for my past. Let's move toward working toward loving one another. Love covers a multitude of sin. Loving one another, trying to be the best we can be in the eyesight of God. How about this one? As I move on, just trying to make some applications to the thing they went through. Now, we can't, none of the stuff that they had and those physical pains that we can see today. What about this one? How about the mental torture and the sawing of asunder, the reminder? Let's go back to someone say, well, I have to live with the fact that I was abused sexually by someone I trusted, and I was molested or I was raped. And every all your life, you look back at that moment, it's vivid. It's a moment that you'll never forget. It's etched in your mind. And it's a torture. Because when they saw them on Sunday, it was torture. Think about dying when somebody just sawing your head. But maybe in your mind, this morning, somebody will call and have gone through some type of abuse, some type of a molestation or something. Perhaps you're mentally tortured over the fact that you went through at a young age, you aborted your very child. And it cuts to your heart every time I meet you. And you deal with these things in your life. A young man, a young lady, who someone says, you know, I don't know why my body, you know, I feel like I'm a woman when I'm really a man. I feel like I'm a man. Somebody said, that's what God made you. In your mind, you know better than that. You know better than that. It's a desire. It's your own personal desire, and it tortures you. It's a sexual sin. What about those mental pains that each person on the call, perhaps in your dark closet, that you have to deal with in your mind? Others don't know. It's too much for you to share. You kept it to yourself. You said it'll go to the grave with me. And you saw it asunder. When you listen to Brother Brooks and I pull those points out, and it comes home, and it hits home, what's going to be on your report? Well, your report says, you know what, I gave that to God. And I let God. I understand that there were some things in my life, some pains, that I had to go through, some mental torture. But in the end, I'll make it home. I'll make it to a place where no one else can ever hurt me. No one could ever touch me like that. And I can live for God. And I look to that day when I go to a place where there'll be no more crying and dying, no more molestation, no more rapes, nothing like that. What about that? What about the men on the call going through all kinds of things in your life, trying to be the man you wanted to be for God? And you look back, and in your mind, you look at your failures. In your mind, you look back on the mental challenge. You had to spend so much time in prison, away from your children, away from your son, and you see them grow up. Now he's on the street, and he look a lot like you. And in your mind, you know it's all because of the example. You know you wasn't there for him. You know you wasn't there to raise your boy. And that's affecting you. It's affecting you. Why not in 2022, January 2nd, say, you know what, no longer will I let that. I just be the best I can be now. I can do it with the help of God, and that's going to be on my report of faith. How about those who are wearing those sheep and goat skins to cover up the living of a double life? if revealed, the life you're living, the double life you're living, if it was revealed, it would shock your family, loved ones, and others, because we never thought you would do such a thing. How about that one? Those are sheepskin goat coats, covered up. Who owned the car? Got something covered up. Some of your life is covered up, and you know, in your heart of hearts, that this goat skin got to come off. And one way it's not come off as exposure, but come off in the sense that by faith I'm going to come to God. And by faith I'm going to take this goat skin off. I'm going to stop living that way. And that's a goat skin. It's covering up something in your life. And it may not be a double life, but certainly it may be something in your life that you know about, holding you back from being all you can be as a child of God. What about that? How about the tortured afflictions of your past mistakes? They were tortured, they were afflicted. So how about us? Many people are tormented and afflicted because of their past. They're living today. They bring their past into their present. They can't let go of the past. Can't let go of what someone done to me. Can't let go of what I done wrong. Can't let go of what happened in the mind. I'm where I am. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done that. And it's ruining your day to day. You're dealing with that. That's torment. That's afflictions. Past mistakes. Why wouldn't you be baptized and be forgiven of all that? The Bible says, God, wash away your sins. You remember your sins no more. Why don't you let God take that past of yours away? Maybe Memorial Church, maybe you just need to let God take your past away and give it back to him. Say, I'll repent. I'm confessing my fault of my past. I'm not going to let that ruin my day. Because I'm looking to heaven. I'm looking to the hills from which come in my help. And it comes from the Lord. How about this? How about this one? Come out of your caves and dens of spiritual depression. You know, leaving every Sunday from the building, go home to a dark and lonely life without God. And you're spiritually depressed because you know you can be better. You know you can do better. You know what to do. And you say, I just need prayer. I need somebody to pray to have spiritual strength. Maybe you're spiritually depressed. Maybe you're in your own cave. Maybe you're in your own lounge or in a den hiding. That's what they would do. They would go in caves for shelter. And you're trying to shelter yourself from this world, shelter yourself from the pain and the situation that you're in. And you're in that cave this morning. You're in that cave because your marriage is failing. You're in that cave because you just can't come out and deal with what you have to face. You're in a cave because you decided to live in that cave by yourself. Why don't you come out? Why don't you come out the cave and see the light? The light is God. God is light. And him in the darkness love. Now, will you trust and have faith in God this morning? Or will you just give up? But I just try to list some things that hopefully I come down and come down your corner and come down your street and make some applications that can help you. Listen, go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. I close 39 and 40, and I'll give you this lesson. And these all, having attained a good report, there it is, through faith. A good report through faith, that's my title. Received not the promise. By the power of faith, these people live holy and heroic lives, but all die without having seen the fulfillment of promise and deliverance by Jesus the Christ. In verse 40, the Hebrew writes that God had provided some better things for us, talking about Christians. All of us don't have to live like they did. We don't have to go through what they went through, but we have a better covenant. We have a new way, a better way. We have the New Testament. Jesus has come. And he hung on the cross for us. He hung up there 6 long hours, and he suffered. He came out, and he dealt with all of this. He went through the cruel treatment. He went through the mocking. He went through the whipping, the scourging, the talked about, being spit upon. He went through the execution by crucifixion, the pain of carrying his own cross. Think about all Jesus went through, everything I just listed. He went through the dark periods of life, but yet he went to the cross. He went for us, and he went for you, and he went for me. Why would you let Jesus this evening come be in your life? Why would you give up everything that happened in 21 and focus today on giving your life to the one who gave his life for you? Will you obey him this morning by faith? Say, Brother Brooks, I do believe in Jesus. I believe God loved me. What would your report say that you believed it? Jesus said in Mark 16:15-16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It will be on your report that you believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. Do you, would it be on your report that you believe baptism for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38? Will you believe, will it be on your report that baptism now saves us, 1 Peter 3:21? Will you be like the lady on our call, as she listened to us, I heard she listened to me in our call, and me and some, she knew my boys when I called her. She said that they'd been listening 2 years, and it came a time when she knew it was time for her. Now, have you heard me over and over and over? When are you going to make that decision? That I will be in the list of men and women of faith that heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believed it with all of my heart. Will you be willing to do that? That repent of your sins as commanded by Jesus, Luke 13:3-5. Will you be one on your report that says, I made a confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. As Jesus asked me to do in Matthew 10:32-33, to confess me before me. Will you be like the eunuch who said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before he was baptized in Acts 8:35 and following verses? Will you be like him? Will it be on your report that you walk down the aisle or did you call in this morning that you hit 5-star on January 2nd, 2022, where Brooks were preaching? It's on your report. I moved by faith and I asked the church that I'll be willing to make that confession and I want to be baptized this morning. Why won't you start the new year off right? By being baptized, giving your life to God, make sure you got a good report when you die. How about that to the visitors? How about the members? What kind of report will you have about faith? When all the things I went through, what are you going through now? They're so bad that you can't give it back to God. Why can't you just go back to giving it to the Lord and say, I want to just live as a Christian today. I just want to be like God. I just want to be like these men and women of faith and go get through my bonds and imprisonments, my stones and my hardness and my mental torture and being sawed asunder and to take off the goat skin and the skins that are covering up my life, going through the torture and afflictions and come out my own cave. Wouldn't you be that person? Why wouldn't you do this this morning and hit 5-star on your phone and say, Brother, since I have sinned, I'm coming home. I don't want to live like this no more. I need God in my life this morning. What would you be that woman? Why wouldn't you be that man? Why wouldn't you be that young lady, that young man that's understanding everything? You old enough to understand what I'm saying. You old enough to say, I want to be a better father, so a child to my mama. I want to do better than my mama, for my mom and my daddy. I don't want to be like the 17-year-old this morning that you died 17 and your mom and your dad, they're at home grieving because you were disobedient. You were out doing things you knew they taught you better. Maybe you want to make that repentance this morning. Maybe you're that person, that young man who's 12, 13, 14, 15, years old, you understand the truth. You've been putting out baptism, and today you're going to nudge your dad and you nudge your mom. Say, Mom, it's time for me. It's time for me to get my life right. It's time for me to give my life to God by faith, and I want to be a good young man. I want to be an example. What about that father who needs to be a better example to your son and want to be a better husband to your wife and just want to be a better man? Wouldn't you give your life to be buried with Christ in baptism that you can be that better man, born again, a new creature, coming up a brand new man? Go home and tell your wife, I'm not the same man I came. I'm not the same man. I'm not the same man I was. No. There was a man one time that beat his wife and he abused her. And then she left and went home to her daddy. And that man went down that day. And he went knocked on that man's door, the father, that his wife. And he said, I come to get my wife. And that father, being the protective man, he always said, You just get on out. You go back home. You ain't going to hit her no more. You ain't going to talk to her like that no more. He says, I ain't never hit her. He said, I know you hit her. I see the scars. And you cursed. He said, I ain't never cursed her. He said, what did you tell me? He said, sir, I just came from gospel meeting. And I heard how Jesus could change a life. And that man was preaching from the book called the Bible. And he said, if I be baptized, I'd be born again, a new creature. And I come to get my wife. I ain't never here. I've been born again. I'm a different man. That's what can happen. By faith, you can step into that water this morning. You can go home and be a better husband. You can go home and be a better wife. You can go home and be a better son or daughter to your mama. And then those who are in the church, it applies to you too. You can come up and be baptized. You've been baptized, but you can make confession. And God will forgive everything you ever done. You can change this morning. And you can have that conversation with your wife after you get off the phone. Or you can have that conversation with your husband after you get off the call this morning and say, I'm coming home. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better husband. I'm going to do that. And I want to walk this walk by faith. I'm not going to talk no more. You just watch me walk my walk by faith. And I'll be the man I can be with the help of God. I'll be the wife I can be with the help of God. Or maybe a young man on the call, or a young lady on the call, and you're a young Christian. You want to save your family. You want to be like Rahab. You save your whole family. Why wouldn't you move this morning to do that? Be baptized. Or come home. Make a decision. And maybe it all comes down to how bad you want to be a Christian. Because this is what Christians have to do to become a Christian. Is hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Hear what? How Jesus suffered, bled, and died on the cross. Believe that with all your heart this morning. And he did that to free you from sin and to keep you from dying in your sin and missing heaven. If you're on the call this morning and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you say, I want to be a member of that one church I can read about in the Bible. Well, no one just says, Lord, I just want to be a Christian. And if that's what you want to be in the Church of Christ, we're Christians and Christians only. Nothing else. We don't call ourselves nothing but Christians. Because we're in that one church called the Church of Christ. And that's not the name of it. That just denotes who owns it. The owner is Jesus. And they were called Christians only after he died. And the ones that were called Christians were the ones who were baptized and in the one church called the Church of Christ. And maybe that's you this morning. And Lord, I want to be a Christian. Do you want to be a Christian in the year 2022? Perhaps you do. I hope you do. As we sing this song, I pray you'll come to the Lord. Hit 5-star on your phone. Say, brother, I just want to be a Christian this morning. Or if you are a Christian, hit 5-star on your phone. I want to come back home, taking advantage of my Christian privileges to repent of my sin, confess my fault. I want to just be a child of God. I just need y'all praying for me that I can make 2022 my resolution to have a good report of faith. Would you come as together we sing this song?